Good morning, Terra Nova Church. My name is Dennis Gardner. I get to serve as one of the pastors here at Terra. Let's get right into the Word of God, shall we? Psalm chapter 2 says this. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Lord, bless the reading of the word. Amen. As you've probably ascertained from today's handouts, that today's going to be a little different than a regular sermon. In fact, I'm not even going to be doing a sermon at all. It's going to be a short teaching, and then we're going to participate together in a practical, real-time exercise. And if God is willing and faithful, which he is, in essence, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture are going to be preaching to us today. Amen? You're going to need, and I say need, a guide page today. If you did not get one, you can raise your hand or you can either get up and grab one, and you're going to need a pen or a pencil. You may also want to have at your disposal one of these cards that was handed out to you. You may also need a clipboard to lean on, for something to write on. There are clipboards over there that you can use during this sermon. And you might want a physical Bible or an app. Sarah, if you can put the QR code, Sarah, if you could put the QR code up there. If you want to be able to download a Bible, you might want to have that as well. So now's the time. Don't worry about it. Get up. Get what you need. When I was scheduled to speak for the New Year's Eve service, I thought back to previous New Year, New Season, New Start themes that the Christian church will commonly do. They do something foundational at this time of year. And in Terra's past, we've done State of the Church. We've done history, mission, vision, values. We've gone into a new year testifying about what God did in previous years. And it's all good stuff. But Christians around this time of year, when it's time to make New Year's resolutions, Christians will very often resolve to, I'm going to read the Bible more this year. And that always leads to that old joke about people who decide they're going to do the Bible in a year and giving up on March 1st when they're halfway through Leviticus. I did the Bible in a year a couple of years ago, and I got to tell you, I fell in love with Leviticus for the first time, and it was kind of cool. So I'm not discouraging anybody from a Bible in a year thing, but you remember, hopefully you remember a few Sundays ago, it might have been a couple months ago, I was able to give a sermon, and I talked a little bit about how to hear God's voice, and said that the primary way that we hear God's voice, and how do we know it if God is speaking, is if it is something that is in, or if it's something that lines up with the written word of God. And to do that, and to know that, we need to be in our scripture. We need to be familiar with our scripture. We need to be acquainted with it, understanding it, studying it. Because the word of God is how we hear God's voice. And the scripture has the capacity to mature us. The scripture is living and it's active. 2 Timothy says that it's the breathed out word of God to equip us for every good work. 1 Peter says it was written so that we would have the good news of salvation. And the Bible also contains the promises of God. And most importantly, our Bible testifies of Jesus. So when we have our Bible, when we have our scripture, when we're looking in the scripture, We're doing it looking for the person of God himself. We're looking for the gospel of Jesus. And in it, we submit to his authority, and we want to be conformed to his image. And at Terra Nova Church, we want to handle the word of truth well. Amen? So long story short, whether you're familiar with this or if it's completely new to you, here at the beginning of the new year, we want to revisit Terra Nova's encouraged method for reading the Bible. And we call it Lectio Coram Deo. The goal of Lectio Coram Deo is very simply this: to empower Christians to pick up their Bible, to read their Bible, and to get closer to God through it. Short piece of history. Saint Benedict of Nursia was writing his instructions to monks in the year 530 or something like that. And while he was writing the instructions to how to live a godly life, he built into each day something that he called Lectio Divina, or otherwise translated as divine reading. And he says, you need to stop during the day. And it came in a four-part method that he encouraged Christ's followers to do: to read the scripture, to meditate on the scripture, to pray the scripture, and to contemplate what the scripture is saying, and to do all of this in the presence of God. And when Terra Nova was planted, our founding pastor, Ed Marcel, he took this concept and he kind of tweaked it for Terra Nova Church to use, for us to use individually and for us to use corporately. It's a method. It's a method for reading the Bible. So he called it Lectio Coram Deo, which is also Latin, of course, and it translates reading in the presence of God, or reading before the presence of God, or before the face of God. This method of reading the scriptures that we're going to go over today is deeply tied to our primary mission, which is at the top of your guide page every week, Terra Nova Church, making more and better disciples of Jesus. So when we read the Bible, we don't want to just read the Bible. We want to read the Bible as disciples, and we want to read the Bible as disciple makers. And it's a humble methodology that we have here for people in a relatively simple way to engage the Lord through Scripture and to see and experience it and its impact on our lives and in the lives of those around us. So before we get into the meat and the potatoes of Lectio Coram Deo today, I'd just like to make a couple distinctions. First, Lectio Coram Deo is not just reading. It's engaging. Okay? We all know that somebody can read something without encountering it. You know, just words go past your eyes. We can read something without letting it penetrate us as it should. Lectio Coram Deo is not supposed to be that. Lectio Coram Deo should be like reading a card or a letter that somebody wrote you in the same room with that person. A lot of us have experienced that, right? They give you a card and you go, should I open this now? Yeah, go ahead, open it now. And you read that sentiment while that person is there in the room with you. And you're engaging with them as you read it. So reading the scripture is us interacting with the author of the scripture. Another distinction is that Lectio Coram Deo, what we're going to talk about today, is not studying. It's engaging. Now, there is a very important place for the studying of scripture, a really important place, because information matters, right? Understanding history, understanding language, understanding culture, all that matters. And we're actually hoping to very soon, hopefully within the year, set up some classes on how to study scripture. But information doesn't always lead to transformation, right? It can prime the pump, but we have to remember the danger that was seen in the Pharisees when Jesus said to the religious leaders in John chapter 5, he said, you do not have the word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think in them that you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have eternal life. So today, as we're going through Lectio Coram Deo, which we're going to do together, if you see something and you wonder something, this is not the time to open the commentary app on your phone. Or now is not the time to do that homework. Lectio Coram Deo is engaging with the author. So again, simply put, the goal of this Bible reading method is to empower Christians to pick up their Bible, to read their Bible, and to get closer to God through it. So here's the method. Here's how we do this. We encourage the starting of the reading of Scripture to start with prayer. It doesn't have to be hours on your knees in your prayer closet. It could be a very short prayer. We want to first engage with our Creator. A short prayer. Ask God to reveal Himself in the time and the place that you are when you open up your Bible. One of the ones that I like to go to is I like to pray the Scripture back to God whenever I can. And in Psalm 119, verses 17 and 18, it says, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." What a wonderful little two-sentence prayer to be asking before we open up the living word of God. Then what we want to do for this method is to do an overview reading, to become acquainted with a specific passage that you want to hear from God. And it's preparing to engage with the author. And back before GPS, of course, we had paper maps, or we even had MapQuest, and what you would do before taking a trip is you would look at the map first. You would map it out so that you had a little insight as to what was ahead of you. So it's kind of like that. This is the overview reading is also a good opportunity to see where the Scripture falls in context. Maybe do a little reading around it. I'm going fast. I feel like I'm going fast. I'm sorry. So we do an overview reading, then we do our first Lectio Coram Deo reading. And to do this, we go into the text with a mindful and intentional focus on God. Okay? We call this the eternal reading. And in the past, we'd actually color-coded all of these pieces. We call this the blue zone. And I always remember this by, like, we focus on God because the sky is blue. And we look up to the heavens, to the eternal. So, you know, if you hear this being referred to as the blue zone, that's the eternal reading. And when we read our passage with these glasses on, we ask the questions, what does the text reveal to me about God? What does it reveal to me about God's characteristics? What does it reveal to me about his attributes, who he is, what he's doing? And then just write out what God reveals to you about himself through a particular passage of Scripture. And don't overthink it. What did God say about himself in a passage of Scripture? The second reading of Lectio Coram Deo is something that we go into a mindful, intentional focus on our individual part. And we call this the internal reading, color-coded as red, the red zone, internal, blood. And in this one we do, what does the text say to me or about me, and how do I relate to the writer's point of view in a particular passage of Scripture? How does this text relate to my history, to my present, to my past, to my future? And write down what God reveals to you about yourself through a passage of Scripture. You've heard the term stream of consciousness. When I say don't overthink it, it's not really like a stream of consciousness writing where you don't think, but you just write, because it's not really our consciousness that we want to do. But it's not difficult. What is God saying to me? And then the third reading is what we call the external reading, which is color-coded as green, and we go into the text with a mindful, intentional focus on our place. What does the text say about the world at large? What implication does this text have for my world? How do I reveal Christ to my culture through this specific text? And again, write down, what is God revealing to you? After we do our three Lectio Coram Deo readings, Then we take time and we respond to God. We look at what we wrote. We look at what he revealed to us. And when we respond to God's revelation, we thank him and we give him adoration for it. That's worship. That's having read the word of God, having heard his voice through it, and then praising him for it. That's like the definition of worship. Or perhaps maybe you look at everything that God revealed to you during this method of Bible reading, and you have some questions of the text. Maybe you want to stop and ask God for some clarification. And then finally, share. Now, this isn't a necessity, but when God reveals himself to us, this might be something that we want to share. And this is why we use this method a lot in our small groups, in our tribes, because we read the scripture ahead of time, and then we're able to come and share with our fellow brothers and sisters how God revealed himself to us. And then we could praise him together for who he is, and who he is to us, and who he is to the world, and what he's doing. So before we get into it, I just have a couple of some suggestions here. When we practice this form of reading the Bible, it's encouraged to read slow. And it's hard to do sometimes. But mindfully read slow. Now, we're kind of a little bit on the clock today when we're doing this as a group. But in your personal times, read the passage slow. Let the Word of God do its work. Right? Lectio Coram Deo isn't a task to get through. It's reading God's word in the presence of God. Another thing I would suggest is feel free to use multiple versions of the Bible. We here at Terra default to the English Standard Version, which is a very good and solid word-for-word translation. Another good translation that I like to use is the New Living Translation, which is a pretty solid thought-for-thought translation. So feel free to use other translations of the Bible when reading in the presence of God. Okay, let's do it, all right? If you've got your pens, if you've got your papers, your clipboard, whatever it is you need, we're going to do it here today. With our kids joining us again this Sunday, feel free to encourage, I'm encouraging parents to feel free to involve your kids as you see fit in this process. And it's gonna look like this for the rest of the service. We're going to take a few minutes to go back into a little more depth of each one of the zones. We'll read the passage. Then we'll take about 5 minutes to practice Lectio Coram Deo. They'll have some music playing in the background. And then after that, some people have agreed to come forward and share what God has revealed to them. Okay? Sarah, can you put that psalm up on there? Church, let's pray this together before we get into it, okay? Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Amen. So the eternal perspective. There's going to be some questions up there. Who are you, God? What are your characteristics? What does God do? What does he not do? These kinds of questions, we should never tire of asking these questions. We will always need answers to these questions because he's a living God and he's a moving God and he reveals himself to us in our time and place. So we go into this reading with the knowledge that God, when we open up our Bible, is the starting point. We want to know God. And this is a good opportunity to try to clear your mind of any preconceived notions of who we think that God is and try to see him freshly through his word, through his scripture. And in doing so, we're committing ourselves to possibly building and rebuilding our systematic theology based on the word of God alone. It's exciting and it's scary and it's real. But we know that when we open our Bible, God is the authority on this subject. He tells us who he is. We don't tell him who he is. He reveals himself to us. Okay. Eternal zone. What does this say about God? Psalm chapter 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "As for me, I have set my king in Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' Ask me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." So let's take some time. going to ask one of our tribe leaders, Ben Novello, to come forward, and he is going to share what God revealed to him through the eternal zone.
Good morning. I thought I had 20 minutes, but Dennis told me only two.
You have two.
So I took all my notes, and I tried to bring them down into three points. When you read the psalm, there's some things that are repeated, some words that are repeated. Terrifying was one of the ones that struck out. But the first thing I wanted to share is that God sees all. We see that in the opening reflection. None of the things that are happening in the big world, in our little worlds, in our church, God doesn't see. God sees all. God is terrifying. An idea that is easily moved on from in our day and age. But he's terrifying. He'll speak in his wrath to those who oppose him. He will terrify in his fury. He is opposed to those who don't honor the Son. He'll deal with his wrath. We're to serve him with fear and trembling. God is terrifying. And then lastly, God reveals himself. Over and over, God reveals himself. Speaking to those who oppose him is revealing himself. He has set his king, and he proclaims it. God reveals himself. He speaks to his people. He instructs in the value of his Son. And he laughs at those who oppose him. In all these ways, God reveals himself. He sees all. He is terrifying. He reveals himself.
Thank you, Ben. So now we're going to move into the internal perspective. And the internal reading is one in which you're asking yourself, what does this say to me as a child of God, as a pilgrim on a faith journey? How is God speaking to the innermost level of an all-knowing God and Father speaking to his child? Right? So this reading is meant to be a personal point of interaction. And having done this a bunch of times, often this reading concludes with confession, or it'll conclude with correction or instruction or an action. And if that happens, don't shy away from that. If you read this and you say, this is saying something about me, and the Holy Spirit is instigating a change in you, accept that. Don't shy away from it. Because Hebrews 4:12 says this, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. So let the Word of God speak to you where you're at during this reading. And again, God is the authority about these things as well. He tells us who we are. We don't tell ourselves who we are. He's the one that the believer finds their identity and their meaning and their purpose. And a little bit of a caution that comes along with the red zone internal reading. Be careful not to make it about us. Right? The Bible was written to us about Jesus. The Bible was written for us to make us more like Jesus. So when you're looking for self in the scripture, we should be seeing ourselves in the light of the gospel. We should be seeing ourselves in the grand story. We are a part of God's plan. Psalm 2 says this, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The king of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. We'll take a few more minutes. Asked my wife Rachel if she would be willing to share her insights from the internal reading.
Okay, so I want to start with a disclaimer that I know very well that I am not the original intended audience for this psalm, but I also know that all of the scripture, as it claims, is profitable for teaching, reproof, and correction. So what is God saying to me? First of all, I see the nations. And I know that the nations can also mean the Gentiles, so without a doubt, that's me. And it's hard to think of being against the Lord, But if I look at being against the anointed, that's all of you. And how many times have I said I'm going to burst the bonds of accountability? How many times have I thought to myself, I'm not going to be submitting to authority? When, instead of submitting to the Lord, instead of his people, do I become defensive? And I act as if Jesus is not my king in that moment. And the book of James tells me why. It says, why are there quarrels and controversies among you? Isn't it because of your lust and jealousy and covetousness? And it goes on to say that I have not because I ask not. I didn't pray. And instead of asking God for the things that I need, I defended my lust and my jealousy and my covetousness and bucked the authority and accountability of my brothers and sisters. But there's good news. There is a king in Zion. And God says to him, you are my son. That's Jesus. And because it's Jesus, it's me too. I have a spirit in me, given by the Holy Spirit, that cries, Abba, Father. And if I abide in Jesus, I can ask what I will. So the Father tells Jesus to ask, even the nations will be his inheritance. And because we know that they are his inheritance, we can know that's what he asked for. He asked for the nations. He asked for me. So how is that a smackdown of my jealousy and lust and covetousness? Jesus asked for me, and what more could I want? Because I don't want to be a stubborn mule that the Lord laughs at. I want to be the one who submits, who kneels, who metaphorically kisses the Son's ring and takes refuge in him. I don't want to be the one who makes him angry and perishes in the way. So the punchline, God is telling me to pray, and he's telling me not to be afraid to pray big.
So at this point, too, we've already had two people share individually, and you're probably thinking, wow, I didn't get that at all. That's how God speaks to us individually, using the Lectio Coram Deo method, is that he speaks to us where we are. And so an example of Ben or Rachel sharing is that, wow, I wouldn't have got that myself. But there's something good about hearing what God speaks to other people. So finally, the third Lectio reading is what we call the external perspective, or the green zone. And this is about knowing and living the gospel. How does God want me to live in this world? And this reading should be preparing us to be missionaries sent out, right? We know that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth because Matthew 28:18 tells us in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. It was the last thing Jesus told his disciples to do. And by association, it's what he's telling us to do. So when we read the scripture, we want to be able to put on some green-colored glasses to say, how do I go forth now with this? Because part of knowing the Bible is being able to repeat its truth to other people. Can I say that again? Part of knowing the Bible is being able to repeat the truth of it to the people of this world. So when you do this reading, you might consider, who would I want to share these truths with? Is there somebody in my life? Or maybe we're looking at our society. We're looking at our general societal contexts and see where our culture connects to this passage, or maybe where our culture conflicts with a certain passage. So before we go into this reading and take just a couple more minutes, I found that there's one particular question that really I find most helpful when we're doing the external green zone perspective. And that is this. If I had to convey the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unbeliever, and this was the only passage that I had to do it, how would I do that? Where do I see the gospel in this passage that I can share with the world at large? One more time, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart. Cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. Take a few more minutes. Leaders of our young adult groups, Kyle Maureen, to share what God has revealed to him.
So as we look through the external lens at this psalm, in a way it's easy because the psalmist actually explicitly gives us how we ought to share and what we ought to share about God. And we see this in verse 10 through 12. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. And in this thread, we see, or at least I see, a thread of the power of God and the authority of God. And it's, in a sense, impossible to separate this from the lens of the eternal, because the eternal is what informs the external. It is what we've already seen about God's power ruling over the nations, God's laughing at the futility of the nations in thinking that they can oppose his purposes and his plans, God's authority in setting the Messiah over the nations and giving him all that authority to rule and to reign over the world and over creation. It is in light of that power that we see God calling us now to proclaim submission to that authority. God's call to the external is one in which we are to submit to what he has claimed for himself, that power, that authority. And as we tell others of the truths of the gospel, as we tell others of his love in coming for us and dying for our sins and raising and rising again, we ought also to tell of the authority that the Father has given the Son, that he has all authority over heaven and over earth, and that in light of that, we see his power reigning. Our call is one to call the nations to submit to his authority, and recognize that Jesus is the one to whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth.
I hope this was helpful. I hope that we can go into the new year at least with another tool to be able to open up our Bibles and know God more in 2024, and to be able to use this method in our tribe. So I'm going to invite the band back up. So the pastor and theologian R.C. Sproul was once asked this question: what is the essence of the Christian life? It's a big question. And Pastor Sproul's response was this: Coram Deo. Coram Deo captures the essence of the Christian life, because the Christian life is one that is to be lived constantly in the presence of God, before him, under his authority, and for his glory. I like that. I'm going to read it again. What is the essence of the Christian life? Coram Deo. Coram Deo captures the essence of the Christian life, because the Christian life is one that is to be lived constantly in the presence of God, before him, under his authority, and for his glory. And for us, that is possible because of Jesus. That we can live in the presence of God, even here on earth. The original 12 disciples, they ate the Lord's Supper in the presence of God. And because of the events that took place soon after that, Christ's necessary crucifixion, his necessary resurrection, that declares us righteous, that frees us from the power of sin, that raises his disciples up in freedom. Because of that, because of the gospel, we too can eat the Lord's Supper in the presence of God. So as we transition to communion, my encouragement today is, just like we spent some time reading in the presence of God, let's take communion, Coram Deo. Amen?